Hey, good evening. Welcome to the Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, where we bring to you, using our very best efforts, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. Bud Dickman, Margaret Leonard, Margaret Gray. I'm sorry about the Margaret Leonard statement. Excuse me.
My name's Robert Leonard.
My name is Margaret Gray. How could you...
Take it easy. Don't spill the coffee, Bud.
Yeah, everybody's...
You called me Margaret Leonard. Now, I'm not... This has got nothing to do with you being black, Robert. I want that very clear, especially on a day like today. But it is something that I want to point out to the audience, if I could.
Okay, no, you may not.
Why not?
Why can't she?
First of all, I shouldn't have to say, why can't she? I want to get into the show. I don't want to get sidetracked, as we always do. And I don't know what's with you in this car. If you spill any coffee in this equipment, Bud, I'll kill you. You understand? You remember that movie we were seeing the other night?
Yeah, Stripes.
Yeah, remember the one guy who said, if you do this, you do that?
Yeah, if you touch me, I kill you. If you touch me, I kill you.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, we want to see how funny it's going to be when I kill you?
Why?
Because if you spill cotton... This guy's...
They don't listen to you, Phil. They only listen if there's something worth... I'm not saying it's not worth hearing.
All right. Everybody be quiet. Hi, welcome to the Phil Henry Show, and this is going to be just so much fun tonight, and we're going to talk with everyone, and everyone's going to talk when it's their turn, and nobody will be saying things that will embarrass me. Now, Margaret, I apologize. I didn't mean to say Margaret Leonard. I meant to say Margaret Gray. Now, do you have an issue with that?
I want to say to your audience, no, I don't. Robert Leonard is black. Today is the day of the Martin Luther King, right?
Today is the day of the Martin Luther King.
I mean, today's his birthday.
No, it's not his birthday.
His birthday? And you're a journalist.
I cover things happening today. No one is a bigger admirer of Martin Luther King than me. So don't even start there. But today's the day. Am I going to have to guess?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you do. You have to guess.
Today's the day...
I'm gonna leave. If you can't guess this, I'm gonna leave.
No, you're not gonna leave.
Yeah, I am. I'm gonna leave. I think that's a very insulting thing. You don't know what today is.
Today's the day. I know what it is. It's the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington to free the
free the slaves.
To free, well, not free the slaves.
Oh man, are you people stupid?
I beg your pardon.
You are. You're stupid. Stupid.
So that's how this is going to go tonight.
No, if you're going to tell me that it's the 50th anniversary of the freeing of slaves...
Phil, I said I know it's not that.
Yeah, well,
Nobody's talking to you, Bud. And take that coffee out of here. I'm telling you, if I see any of it spilt, I'll put my hands around your throat, I'll squeeze till you're dead, I'll do it all here on the air, everyone will hear it, I'll be arrested, yes, of course I'll be arrested. But something will have happened that I will enjoy for the rest of however many days I have left on this planet, that I squeeze the life out of you.
Well, what you said there is probably going to get David.
Yeah, you were talking about I'll put my hands on it and squeeze it. And that can be taken.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you guys got filthy minds.
That's what Mr. Hall said.
Anyway, welcome to the program. Today's the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington when
President Kennedy...
When President Kennedy, no, not, when Martin Luther King gave the speech that was to be to be the iconic speech of the civil rights movement, certainly the key speech that he gave in his very, very short but brilliant life. Martin Luther King died at the age of 39, felled, as is the case in this country too often, felled by an assassin's bullet. He was 39 years of age when he died, with little children, a wife. But that day on the Capitol Mall there in front of the Lincoln Memorial, he gave a speech that was very powerful. I got to tell you, I was watching it today on YouTube. And if you ask me, Bud, I didn't know they went back to the Lincoln Memorial and did it again.
Well, what do you mean?
It was a tape, you jackball.
You know about a tape, right?
Yeah.
So I'm watching a tape of it, and I got to tell you, I almost started bawling again. I say again, but I... Just, it was very profound. Maybe the older I get and the more I understand things and I understand life. And you look at a guy like that and you, wow, now I know what that guy was dealing with. You know, now I understand. And when I was a little kid, I was watching it. And maybe later on in life, I support what he's saying, but I'm not really sure. What that guy was up against, you mentioned the death threats. I mean, that guy got daily, I mean, not just death threats, but real actively murderous people. The Klan, you know, the neo-Nazi organizations, I mean, God knows who. This is a guy, every day somebody was threatening to take him out. And on he went, and on that day he gave this speech. I don't know, call me crazy. I like to think it's because I'm an American, you know, I like everything about this country. I like the everything good about it, man. I don't care what color it is. Everything that's good, everything that's kicks ass, everything that is brave and great, man. I want to hear the story of it. Whether they're black soldiers in World War II, whether they're the Martin Luther Kings, the stories of the how Malcolm X's life came about and how he transformed himself. He's one of my heroes too. You know,
what do you mean Malcolm X?
Malcolm X. I thought he was one of the Black Panthers.
You guys better start getting educated around here.
Phil, I don't like to be threatened. Now, I've got a son, I've got a husband, and you might as well know it. I got back from the doctor today. I've got very...
Yes, you got a hemorrhoid.
Thank you.
You have hemorrhoids.
Yeah, and if you make a joke...
All right, so they're serious.
They're bleeding.
Oh, God.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Margaret Gray. I'm not allowed to say what's bothering me, but Phil Henry can sit there and cry, excuse my language, like a bitch.
Now where
are you? I'm going to the bathroom.
You're going to the bathroom?
Yeah, all she's going to do is bleed. Ow!
Get out of here, will you? That's great, so thanks very much for that information.
Well, you asked for it.
Gee, Phil, I'm having such a hard time here, and if you start getting down on me because I don't know when Martin Luther King marched on Washington, and I don't know this, and I don't know that, and on top of everything, Malcolm X, and wasn't he in the Black Panthers, and I have bleeding hemorrhoids.
So you think it's funny, huh?
Margaret, close the door. All right, so welcome to the show, and if you think that this show is like this, well, no, it's not. We are far more organized. I just want to please, ladies and gentlemen, before you tune out, before you start complaining... We're way more organized. I mean, we lay it out and we lay it down, man. You dig what I'm putting down?
Yeah.
All right. We do stuff really cool here. Sometimes it gets weird. And, of course, sometimes stuff gets weird in your life, too, doesn't it? You know, Bud, you?
Oh, yeah.
How about you, Robert?
Yeah, stuff gets weird in my life.
Stuff gets weird in my life. And I know that the people who are listening, were they honest? And they are. I'm sure the most honest people here this evening are our listeners. They would say, yes, you're right, Phil. Stuff gets weird in our life, too. So I know that as you guys suffer through your weirdness, that's what I'm doing. However, oh, man.
What?
I just put on my glasses, and they smell like cat.
Oh, you know what? I hit it.
Took the cat box out.
And put... Did you put my glass... Do you know where glasses sit, man? They sit on the nose.
Come on, Phil. Don't get sidetracked.
Yeah, so anyway, thank you very much for that, bud. Glasses go on the nose. All right, so we have to talk about tonight the March on Washington 50 years ago, the speech given by President Obama. We will be talking to Granger Bartholomew, the freelance journalist who is in Washington and saw the president's speech. He's going to give us the rundown on that. Yet even more twerk fallout from Miley Cyrus and Justin Bieber. And we got some sports news for you as well as we did last night because the football season is upon us. And I got to tell you something, we are big football fans around here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Although, as far as, for instance, college football goes, we're not really all that big on it. Although, you know, if it gets good, man, if things get really, if we need it, if we've got to have something exciting because the pro game sucks on wheels, then it's college ball for me, baby. World famous Phil Henry Show is also available online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass, and you can watch live streaming video of our show each and every night on that there channel. It's the Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, back with Granger Bartholomew talking about President Obama's speech today. World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and he's talking entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. All right. So we were looking for the Blue Oyster Cult there. I'm sorry.
Well, did you find it?
Yeah, we found it. There it is. So we got Granger Bartholomew. He's on the line with us from Washington, D.C. tonight, and he's going to be talking to us about the Obama speech that was given and the March on Washington. And I imagine one of the things that I was going to ask him, and I guess I can ask him right now. Granger, how you doing tonight?
Oh, Phil, pretty good, considering we had a little bit of a mix-up in terms of our transportation, but we're back at the hotel and we're doing fine.
And you were at the speech, right?
Hey, we attended along with the members of the media, yeah.
I wanted to ask you the attitude of, the man on the street in Washington and just what you're seeing around the country, just from what you're reading. Is this a day that is being endured by, white people?
I don't think it's fair to say it's a day that's being endured by white people. I think it's fair to say that it's a day that is uncomfortable for a number of reasons. And it was uncomfortable, I think, for myself only to say that as a reporter, you'll be watching these events and hearing the speeches of Martin Luther King and President Obama and so forth, and you think that maybe the country is making some strides, and then we hear of the Martin Luther King speech again, and there's a lot of people think that the country hasn't come very far at all, and I just wish that we could maybe to put this day in better perspective.
Well, what do you mean by that?
I mean, what do I mean by that?
Yeah, Granger, this is Margaret Gray. What I would ask is this.
All right, hold on. I'm having a hard time hearing you. Say that again, Phil.
To what do you attribute that?
Well, I just heard a different voice.
It's Margaret Gray.
That's Margaret Gray. All right, just go ahead.
No, yeah, all right.
Is that Phil?
Go ahead, Margaret.
I'm asking you a question. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, but I heard a woman, and that's you, Margaret. That's not Phil.
No, that's not me. That's Margaret Gray.
All right.
Well, my question is simply this. Do you, personally, as a reporter, as a journalist, do you resent the country or those who support President Obama, do you resent this day?
I don't resent the day, but it makes me squirm a little bit. I think the best way to say about this day, the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's speech and the March on Washington, is that it makes people squirm. Makes a lot of white people squirm. And I'm not saying that is because we've done anything wrong. It's just another day where we're reminded of the mistakes we've made, and I can't have a normal day. I can't have a comfortable day on this day of all days. If we're going to have a golf game, if we're going to go bowling, if you're going to be with a young lady, if it's a day, even if you're doing work, very vital work, it's a day where you're going to be off. And I think the productivity of the country suffers as the mental health.
All right, let me interrupt you. So you're talking about a day, the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's speech and the March on Washington, is uncomfortable for white people to the point where they're having an off day.
I think that's the case, yeah. In fact, I looked over the column that I wrote for the for this March on Washington. I looked over the column and I proofread it, and I sent it off to my syndicator in New York, but I didn't want to because I saw that it was not a very well-written column. In fact, it had many typographical errors. The grammar was bad. It looked as if it was written by an individual that had no education at all.
Are you talking about something you wrote?
Yeah.
Yes, I am. I am. And that's the bigger point that I'm making. On a day such as today, when the white America is reminded of how it really screwed up, is the best way to put it, when it comes to black Americans and screwed up, to use the vernacular, when it came to giving black people the rights. That's what happened on this day. And to remind white America of that is also to remind white America of its weaknesses and its failings. So everywhere in this country today, you saw a lot of failure, a lot of people that were second-guessing themselves.
Well, I want to get back to this idea of because you're using yourself as an example. You wrote a column for the news service. It was going to be published today or tomorrow?
It will be published tomorrow.
Okay. And your column, because today is this day that is uncomfortable for a lot of white people because it reminds them of things that happened, that they allowed to happen and that they're not particularly proud of.
Well, it doesn't have anything to do with pride, It has to do with being reminded of it.
See, that's what I'm getting. It isn't that the white people think they made mistakes. They're being bothered with this information.
Yeah, that's a reminded of it continuously is almost a form of I think, a sadism that is practiced, a kind of sadistic, barbarous cruelty practiced against the white race. You talk about the African-Americans suffering slavery. What of the white race that has been subjected to the barbarity and cruelty and just mean-spiritedness of being told constantly, you made mistakes? And so,
well, wait a minute. You're not going to try and compare, you know.
Hold, Phil. Let me finish, because this always happens when I'm talking to certain individuals.
Yeah, Phil, this is an important part. Is there something wrong with your phone, by the way?
I'm using an old phone because my other phones, I got angry and I threw them out. Ma Bell is not done as very... I won't even go into it.
All right. So you're telling me here that we don't want to be reminded of this because it causes us to do a bad job at work, and we're not necessarily sorry for the things that happened. It's just, you know, it's sadistic, and it's like slavery. And I got to ask you, are you serious? You know,
why wouldn't I be serious, Phil?
How can you compare slavery to these quote what you call the sadistic cruelty of being reminded that we did something bad?
We were reminded. Think about this. Now hold on for. I'm not saying it's the same thing as being a slave, but I'm telling you, the intent is to sadistically whittle away the confidence of the average white by saying, "Look what you did," and aren't. Don't you feel bad about it? And constantly pointing fingers at us and making us feel small. To me, that is a sadism that even goes beyond the sadism of slavery.
All right, our number is that I can't accept that.
Well, you don't have to accept it, Phil. It's what I wrote. It's going to be in my column. But if it makes you feel any better, I've got a column tomorrow that was badly written because of the sadism that has been practiced against the white race. So I've got a column that'll be talking about the sadism, and I have to tell you, I'm not even sure I spelled sadism right.
That I don't understand that. You're saying not only is this day something that is difficult to deal with, but all the white people are doing bad jobs.
Right, and I'm sure I could canvass your audience. How many people think Phil's doing a good job with his show tonight? I'm sure we'd have a lot of people who are saying you're not doing a very good job.
Well, I'm sure that you would, but I don't know that that's reflective of anything having to do with Martin Luther King's March on Washington. Our number here on the Phil Henry Show is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. We're talking with Granger Bartholomew about the March on, the anniversary of the March on Washington, and today's speech by President Obama. Tell me about the speech. What'd you think of it?
Well, it's difficult to say, you know, because I've never really been a very big Barack Obama fan. And it's a bad day for me to review a Barack Obama speech because of the finger-pointing and the brickbats and the barbs that we're having to, the white people are having to, absorb. And so,
you know, I don't feel like I'm having to absorb any brickbats.
You're not absorbing what?
Brickbats, isn't that what you called them?
Yes, that's what an insult. Yeah,
I don't. I'm white, and I don't feel that.
I don't know that, Phil. You're in the best possible position to be honest about it. You're doing a radio show, a talk show, and you know that if you say you're right, Granger, I feel insulted and I feel used by black people. I don't think you. Forgive me for saying this, but I don't think you've got the guts to say something like that.
Is this going to be a personal attack on me?
No, Phil, I think it's a very important point that can be made here without turning it personal.
I don't mean anything personal. I'm just saying I'm out here working, and I filed a story against this speech that President Obama gave, and I will tell you, it's misspelled. I spelled sadism, S-I-D. Give me that copy, Jerry. S-I-D-A.
Well, why don't you fix it?
What's that?
Why don't you fix it?
What's wrong with the phone, by the way? Why don't I fix it? Because I can't. Because I'm. It's too late now.
All right. We'll talk with Granger Bartholomew and more of his comments here in a moment as he's speaking from Washington, D.C. What is this thing about how, you know, everybody's doing a bad job?
He's talking about how white people are.
Well, he's saying that this is the pressure on white people has been so intense that people are nervous. They're operating in a way that is is inept.
And so he's turning in a column that is going to have all of these misspellings. He's turning in a column that's going to have all of these grammatical errors, and it isn't his fault. It's just the fact that, hey.
Yes, there was this pressure.
All right, we're going to be right back. It's the world. I can't hear whatever's happening there in the studio. Say that again, please. Okay.
Bye.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show every night here till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're here with Granger Bartholomew, who's a writer with the with everybody. He's a writer with his own. You're just kind of you're working for yourself these days. Isn't that right, Granger?
Oh, yeah. That's as you said, pointed out, Phil. That's the reality.
And you covered President Obama. I haven't heard you give a. I know you said you didn't like the speech because it was what? Because it was just more of the same?
I just didn't like it because, yeah, it was more of the same of reminding me and my race of what we did wrong, you know.
Can I just bring something up to you that has been brought up to me in the past? When white people start in with this my race thing, it sounds very... It sounds like something that's right out of the playbook of a white separatist organization. Now, I understand what you're going to say is... well, black people do it too, but I'm sure you recognize that the history of black people in this country is decidedly different.
I recognize that, yeah. The black people were enslaved and whites were not, and so that created certainly a fertile ground for more of a cohesiveness or a consolidation of opinion or attitude as a group. But I think, I'm not saying that whites should be consolidated as a group, I'm just saying as a white, every time there's this anniversary, I'm reminded of what a bad job I did, my ancestors did, and I can't even escape that. I've said to people that my family didn't own slaves, and then I have these people, and I don't know if you've encountered them, they'll say, prove it. And I say to them, well, what do you mean, prove it? I can't prove 100%.
Well, I mean, a lot of people are going to say, my ancestors didn't own slaves because there's no record of it.
Well, that's what I said to them. And
Who are you talking to?
Just some of these young white college students that consider Barack Obama to be a rock star, and they will walk up to me and say, you look like your ancestors owned slaves. You look like the kind of chump change that would own slaves.
Do they really say that to you?
Say what?
Do they say chump? You look like the kind of chump change?
Well, yeah, in so many words.
Okay, in so many words. What are they saying?
I just told you, Phil, that they walk up to me and say I look like some kind of a... You know, they're not saying chump change, but they've got that tone. And I'll say, my ancestors didn't own slaves, and they'll say, prove it. And I'll say, there was no record of them owning slaves. And then they'll come with, well, do you think they kept records? And I'll say, the Nazis did. And they say, but the Nazis knew how to spell and read. And the slave owners were all stupid, like you and your family. See, so
this is a confrontation, and they're obviously trying to get into an argument with you, these college students who are unnamed. Where do you meet these people?
The college students?
Yeah.
On a college campus. Jeez.
No, I'm saying, what are they part of an organization? Are you giving a speech? Are they asking questions?
Oh, yeah. Well, these will be part of a seminar, you know, a seminar that will be part of the... The seminar is part of a press day that we'll have and try to get people, young people involved in it.
All right, we're talking here with Granger Bartholomew on the line with me from Washington. I saw the speech by President Obama, so you didn't think much of it. You are nervous, and so are most whites, and so you've just submitted a really bad column for tomorrow on the speech.
That is correct.
Can you tell us what the speech is, what your column is going to be about?
The column will be about the speech, and in the column I say that it was a sadistic, mean-spirited speech, even though it really wasn't, but it felt that way to me. President Obama talked about joining together, brotherhood. He talked about getting rid of racism. He didn't talk about too much of anything that I disagree with, but the speech was delivered on a day that makes me feel bad. And my people. And if you're not one of my people, all right, Phil, but you are white, right?
Yeah.
Are you one of my people? You know, it's a stupid question.
No, I'm not one of your people if you're saying that, you know, today is a sadistic day for white people. No. I thought today was a great day.
So you don't... Well, your people come from Canada. See, that's how you get out... That's how you get out of it. Your people come from Canada, so they had the Underground Railroad, and you can claim that your ancestors were helping free slaves by being up in Canada, which I think is... I think that's one of those trick questions, or however you put it. So I think that in the column that we wrote...
Well, tell me about it, Margaret. You had a...
Yes. Listen, Granger, I'm a writer by trade. What will the column... What will distinguish the column other than the fact you're going to be talking about Obama's speech, but you said it's badly written because you were too nervous and offended by Obama?
Yes, that is correct. Is that difficult to understand? Because I've had to repeat it about five times.
Yeah, yes, it is. Very difficult to understand. On the one hand, you're saying that you're doing a job of reporting. On the other hand, you're saying the speech delivered on the anniversary of the March on Washington so upsets white people they can't do a good job. So how is your column a bad column?
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. Let me get a copy of it here. Jimmy Golightly, who is one of our cops, give me a copy of the speech that's going out.
I'll get it a little bit later on.
Let me see this. On a sunny day, and I spelled sunny, S-U-N-N-I-E, on a sunny day in Washington, that's what I said. And I'm not doing this on purpose. I was so nervous and upset and frankly angered at being reminded that my ancestors owned, beat, and oftentimes killed slaves that I forgot how to spell words.
That sounds... You know, I don't buy this for a minute. It sounds like a ridiculous gag or a joke.
Well, you can say it's a gag or a joke, Margaret, but tomorrow when you see the column published in the New York Daily News, go ahead and give me a call and tell me about it.
Well, why would they publish that?
Yes, what editor at the New York Daily News is going to allow this column to be published?
Well, I don't know. Hopefully somebody will catch it, but they figure that because we have editors on this end, this is a column that I write for them, that it's going to be okay. I don't know if anybody's going to actually read it. On a sunny day here in Washington, Barack Obama, two B's, O-B-B-A-M-A, give speech. In the speech that he gives, Barack Obama, O-B-A-M-U, you see what I'm saying, Phil?
And no, go ahead. So what else is in the speech?
On the speech that he gave today at the step of the Washington Capitol, I can't even believe this is my column.
Why don't you call them up, the Daily News, or call somebody there and say, stop the presses, okay?
I can't do that because they're going to ask me why, and I'll say it's because I don't know how to spell one day out of the year, and they'll say, what's that about? And I'll say it's because as a white man, I feel flagellated.
What is flagellated?
You know, flagellated.
Spell it.
F-L-A-G-E.
You mean flagellated.
Well, that's a filthy word.
I thought flagellated was, too. I thought it had to do with gas.
No, it's a term for whipping. Look, I got to tell you something, Granger. If this is really what's going on with you, man, I don't think this is a problem with the white people not doing a good job because they've been reminded of their ancestors were slave owners. I think it's because you have something wrong with you, you know.
No, I don't have something wrong with me. This is standard operating procedure for whites this day of the year. This is the 28th of August, and you told me the 28th of August is a day where you feel very uncomfortable.
Yes, I used to, not anymore.
Oh, you, excuse me, I had to belch. She gave me permission to do that, and I...
All right, would you get on the phone and tell him that I will hang up if he does it one more time?
Yes, sir.
I didn't tell him to belch.
No, but everybody's getting the idea that it's okay to do. Okay, you got the news there, Granger? August 28th is my mother's birthday, and that's why I feel uncomfortable.
So, I'm not buying that. You told me it just so happens your mother's birthday is August 28th.
Yes, that's why I feel sad on August 28th. That's why it's sometimes hard to concentrate on August 28th. My mother's no longer with us, and it's her birthday, and so yes.
Yeah, well, that sounds a little too bad and a little too convenient, Phil, and
Well, are you calling me a liar?
Oh, I'm not calling you a liar, all right? Just take your finger out of your nose for a minute.
I don't have my finger in my nose, Granger. What I'm hearing here is you justifying a rotten column that you wrote. You know...
It's not a rotten... What writer is going to write... Hear it here. On a sunny day in Washington, Barack Obama, O-B-U-M-U, give speech about Martin King. Martin Luther. That's what I call him, Martin Luther. The speech was a good one, but then again, how could it not be on account of it being about Martin Luther? So you see, Phil, because of my feelings of inferiority and feeling that I've been attacked unfairly as a white man, I can't even write good. In fact, I lose my ability to speak like a normal human being. And this is something that has to be dealt with, has to be dealt with vigorously.
Granger Bartholomew with us here on the Phil Hendry Show, talking some, as we used to say, smack like I ain't never heard in my life. This is just total and utter horse dung.
So I'm doing this on purpose, right?
I don't know what you're doing. No, I don't think you're doing it on purpose. I'm telling you, I think there's something emotionally or mentally wrong with you.
It's a very easy thing to accuse a man of having something emotionally or mentally wrong with him, Phil, when you don't have a doctor there to diagnose it. I would love to find out where you get the diagnosis that I'm emotionally or mentally unstable.
Because you just filed a column with the New York Daily News in which you say, among other things, it was good speech, but then again, I've heard them all on account of they all sound the same. I mean, you're writing like an illiterate.
Yes, and many people would say that keeps me in good company with many of America's finest journalists. This is Granger Barth. I thought I'd lock out. Do you want me to do that?
No, hold on for a minute.
He locked out, though.
I don't give a damn if he locked out. What do you mean he locked out?
Yeah,
he
locked out. Can we hang up?
What do you mean he locked out?
Well, this is Granger Bartholomew. Thank you, and good night.
Well, that he was about to say that.
I don't give a damn what he thinks he's doing. He'll be locked out and done when we say so. What do you do, hang up?
Yeah, so I guess that means he does lock out.
We'll call him back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, he locked out. As we talk here with Granger Bartholomew about this, well, this day, a very, very important day in the history of America, the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington, with, of course, Martin Luther King and a great many others. And we'll be back with not only the journalist, Mr. Bartholomew, we'll be back here with Kurt Creedy and Guy Barton from the West Virginia State Legislature on their unflagging support of President Obama here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, Granger Bartholomew, and Kurt Creedy and Guy Barton going to come online with us here as we talk about this wonderful day. I mean, I can't imagine that anybody would not be happy to talk and to write and to discuss a day like today, the anniversary of a momentous March on Washington. Kurt Creedy and Guy Barton with us. And Kurt, you guys are, where are you guys at right now?
Right now, we're in Natchez, Mississippi, and we are having a little bit of an on-off with the members of West Virginia State Legislature. This is our Appropriations Committee. We also have members of our Medical Committee. And we're on board the SS Maverick. The Maverick Host is the name of this paddle boat. Let me get...
You're on a gambling paddle boat, huh?
Well, Eagle paddle boat. Let me go get Guy.
What do you
got? Still him.
Oh, hey, Phil, here they are. I don't know what's going on. Get that cobbler there.
Yeah, I went over to get some cobbler, you know.
Oh, the peach cobbler you guys like.
Yeah.
All right, we got Granger Bartholomew on the line. Do you know Granger?
No, I have not had the pleasure. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing very good. How are you?
Well, I'm great, and what can I do for you?
There's nothing you can do for me, sir. Mr. Hendry brought you on the air. He was interviewing me.
All right. Well, what do you do for a living?
What do I do for a living?
I'm sorry. I should have introduced you, gentlemen. Granger is I thought you knew. He's a journalist.
All right. What do you do for a living?
Oh, a little of this, a little of that. No.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
What does that mean, a little bit of this, a little bit of that? Well, you know, I got my hand in everything, you know. I put my hand in everything if she give me permission. You know what I'm saying about that, huh?
No, I don't know what you're saying. I don't I really don't have that kind of a sense of humor.
All right, well, this is some Southern colloquialisms. Look, gentlemen, Kurt and Guy are members of the West Virginia State Legislature. You're a writer. Both of these men are big supporters of Barack Obama. Kurt, why don't you go ahead and make your case to Granger about Barack Obama?
Well, you know, there's so much.
I don't want to interrupt the gentleman, but I don't care. I've already made up my mind about Barack Obama. He got elected president, and he spent every waking day trying to make me feel bad for, you know, trying to make me feel bad.
I think you got that all wrong, sir.
I know how I feel. You might feel bad on account of something wrong with you, you know. Well, you know, that's easy for you to say. I feel bad every day I wake up under Barack Obama. I don't mean under Barack Obama.
Who you sleeping with at night, anyway?
Yeah, who you sleep with? You're going to wake up under Barack Obama.
Yeah, who you sleeping with at night?
That's typical of the juvenile humor that is engaged in, I think, by you liberals. I wake up under Barack Obama's regime. Every single host. Are you people in a gambling casino of some kind?
I'm right now. I'm going to let that ride.
Give me a stitch. Yes, we are.
Okay, and we've got that phone connection problem. We're going to have to go to another phone, Bud Dickman.
Yeah, go to another phone, okay?
I can't go to another phone. It's the only phone I got.
Not him. We have to somehow fix that connection, okay? Can you do that?
No, I'll try and do it. I'll call up Dill Dooley.
Who's Dill Dooley?
Not Dill Dooley. Bill Dooley. Not Dooley. Dooney.
What's the guy's name?
His name is Bill Dooney, is that it?
No, Dill Dooney.
Dill Dooney.
Dill.
Dill.
I'm going to belt you if just you tell me what the guy's name is.
I know who he's talking about. Dill Dooney. I know Dill Dooney, yeah.
Dell, D-E-L?
Yeah, Dill Dooney, oh yeah. Hey, guy, you know Dill Dooney? Yeah, I know Dill Dooney. I come out there with Dill Dooney.
Yeah, Dill Dooney, he's one hell of an engineer. You know, we call him an engineer. Anyway, I want to say this phone is driving me crazy, too. And I got a big, fat stack of chips right on Black 23. But what I want to say to this gentleman here on the phone, Mr. Bartholomew...
You know what? This is driving me crazy. That phone has got to get fixed. I don't know how we do that. How do we fix that phone?
Probably by taking it and throwing it out of a window.
Yeah, that's what I do.
All right. Well, and that's what we're going to have to do. While we do that, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, I can still hear that, Bud.
No, I'll be working on it. Let me call up Del Donick.
What is this cat's name? What is it with you, man, that you don't know how to say a guy's name?
Well, he's often saying his name, Del Dooney.
Then why are you calling him Del Donick?
I don't know. That's what I thought.
No, he's saying Del Donick because he's filthy-minded. You know that.
Oh, is that it?
No.
Yes, he is. He wants to say Dill Donick, which is a reference to a, you know.
Yeah, that's what he's doing, Mr. Henry. I'm not. I swear to God.
But if you're screwing with me, you don't think I'm going to have to prove my point to you. You realize that you're leading up to that moment of truth. I'm going to have to prove my point with you. I'm going to have to either fire you or kill you or do something that will prove to you that I'm serious.
And if you kill him, will that do the job?
Oh, yeah, that'll do the job.
Yeah, but I'll be dead. I won't be able to appreciate it.
Well, wherever you'll be, in hell, purgatory, limbo.
What's that?
Limbo is a place where, when I was a little Catholic boy, we were taught that unchristened babies, unbaptized babies, they went to limbo.
That was like the dance?
Sure, yeah, it's like the dance. That's right.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about limbo, man. That's what we learned when we were little Catholics. Now they don't teach that anymore because I guess limbo has been shut down.
What do you mean limbo's... That's very funny. Limbo's been shut down.
Well, I'm trying to say, if you're asking me a question, back in the day when I was in school, they taught us that there was a place called limbo after you died. And the only people that went there were little babies that were not baptized. So limbo wasn't a place. It wasn't hell. It wasn't purgatory. It wasn't heaven. Because you're not baptized, and even if you're an innocent little baby, you're not allowed into heaven. No, you have to sit in limbo. It's like a big, dank waiting room, I think. Maybe not so much dank, you know, but...
What about the dance?
What do you mean the dance, man?
He's talking about the limbo.
But will it do in the limbo?
Aha, that's very funny, bud.
No, I don't know what they mean when they say that.
Yes, they're dancing the limbo. Little tiny babies, what do you think, man?
What do I call that limbo, man? They got little tiny babies in there.
You know, you guys, you're killing me, man, with how dumb you are. This has got to be... you know what? I agree with Mr. Bartholomew. Today's the day that all of you whites just... Oh, excuse me, Robert, you're black. But you are an honorary white man.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. So you're about as dumb as every other white... You're just another dumb white man today, Robert.
Yay! Bless you.
All right. We will try to reconnect here with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton. They are at the Well, they're at the Lady Natchez in Natchez, Mississippi, on the river there, and I hear a very, very clean line. The question that I had, Granger, was the following. You know, you've filed this column. You've got Kurt and Guy talking with you about their appreciation of Barack Obama. You realize there isn't, it's not a uniform thing. All white people don't feel bad about this.
Well, no, that's true, Phil. Not all of them do. But these two gentlemen, Mr. Barton and Tweedy, obviously are having themselves a real good time and... Not at a loss for anything.
I'm enjoying myself so very deeply, you know.
And I just think that I've got too tight of an...
Okay, did we cut that off?
Yeah.
We can't use that word. All right, folks, we're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. When we return, we will continue to talk about the events of today as well as other news, whatever that may well be. We got a lot of it. Let me tell you what. That immunization thing is back in the news, Margaret. You and your housewife friends.
Listen, I'm telling you, that measles immunization might be, I don't like it.
Yeah, that's a good reason not to get a kid vaccinated. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Wow. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
That's Avenged Sevenfold,
okay. Anyway, welcome back to our program here, and good to be with you. We're online at philhenryshow.com, and get a backstage pass. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you to Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton, and, of course, to Granger Bartholomew for being our guest last hour, talking about the Barack Obama speech, which I didn't hear, but I did hear the Martin Luther King speech.
Well, the Martin Luther King speech is the speech, but Barack Obama standing there before the Lincoln Memorial. See, this generation doesn't have Martin Luther King, so they have Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Barack Obama he's the president, and he is African-American, but Martin Luther King, he ain't, you know.
What do you mean, Martin Luther King, he ain't? That's exactly what Bartholomew, whatever the hell his name is.
Granger Bartholomew. You're telling me that I said he ain't because I'm white and I'm feeling so nervous and distracted that my grammar's gone to hell?
Well, that was his point.
That was pretty much the point that he was making.
Yeah, well, he was making a point that doesn't exist. Not only is he wrong, it doesn't even rise to the level of being wrong. He's mental. From the spot where Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. famously relayed what, Robert?
You gonna keep doing this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep doing it. Why wouldn't I keep doing it?
We just did a whole hour on it.
Yeah, but I didn't hear anybody making any sense. And listen to that jackass talking about how, you know, he wrote a column about and he couldn't spell Sonny. I mean, what the hell are we talking about here? I'm gonna read this story, if you don't mind. From the spot...
What do you mean he couldn't spell Sonny?
S-U-N-N-I-E.
Oh.
Yeah.
From the spot where the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. famously relayed his vision of a colorblind nation, President Barack Obama on Wednesday called on Americans to work toward a greater racial equality and economic opportunity. Now, that's, in my opinion, that's a very interesting statement to make. Greater economic opportunity. Because when I was looking at some of the signs that were at the Martin Luther King... What is that?
David.
Yeah, David.
Well, if you're going to read that, you're mumbling through it, and you need to sound enthusiastic. Get some change for the 20.
What is going on here? I got people at a casino all of a sudden tonight.
Hold on, Phil. You know, you really love to rip into people. Go get change for the 20, baby. What's wrong?
Where are you?
I'm at Chumash Indian Casino. Is there a problem? Is that against the law? I thought I'd play some video poker. We're on our way home from a very important conference.
Really? Where?
What do you mean, where?
Where? Where was the conference?
It was in San Francisco.
Really? And what was the name of it?
I don't have to answer your questions, Phil.
No, I think you were just out cruising around with your girlfriend. I don't think you were at a conference.
Yes, I was.
What was the name of it?
You might as well tell him, David. He'll just keep on leaning on you.
Oh, is he going to lean on me? I was at the National Program Director. You know, hold on for a minute, Phil. My pants are too tight.
Uh-huh.
They are.
What was the conference you were at?
I was at the National Program Director Association Conference.
And that was in what city?
It was, I told you, in San Bernardino. San Francisco is what I meant to say. I said San Bernardino because I was going alphabetically.
You weren't at any conference. You were up at that casino all day.
No, I was not. Let me tell you the reason why I called. This is you reading the story of Barack Obama. It's a very big day to go like this.
Yeah, you kind of are mumbling, Mr. Henry. That's why I call up Mr. Hall.
Yeah, David, what's his name? I want to call him David Jr. because he does such a great job.
Well, I'll call him Dave. Thanks a lot, David Jr.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Dave Jr. He called me and told me... I'm sorry, Phil, I shouldn't say that.
No, okay, I'm going to give you another 5 seconds and then I'm hanging up.
Wait a minute, she hasn't brought the change back for the 20.
So that's you. That's the end of that, right?
Yeah, oh, sure, that's the end of that. What's with the phone call? I understand.
Well, you're all going, Martin Luther King, or blah, 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 blah. You gotta speak it like it's good. Well, yeah, a very important speech was given to the president. You're all, like, mumbling it.
I wasn't mumbling anything, man. I was reading the story. I was trying to get to the essence of the story because you guys told me that we'd already done it.
Well, you just went since because. Hold on. I'm sorry, Phil, and I will always apologize, but I've got to release the gas.
Yeah, it's important to release it. I'm sorry.
What are you people eating around here?
No, we got a 24-pack of Diet Pepsi.
A 24-pack of Diet Pepsi, so?
So we drank a few. Big wow.
That 24-pack of Diet Pepsi belongs to... All right. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us here on the program. Maybe I'm on edge because I have had a very difficult night. Last night I had a tough night trying to get to sleep.
Why don't you tell everyone about the sleep paralysis?
Yes, I have this thing called sleep paralysis.
Now, what is it?
Sleep paralysis, if you'll let me say. Sleep paralysis...
It's neurological, right?
But you let the guy talk instead of to butt it in.
I did. I butt it in?
Yes.
I think I'll let Margaret interview you.
Let me interview you, Phil. We're here with Phil Henry.
Wait a minute. What are you going to do?
I'm going to interview you because you're all in a heap. You really don't look like you're going to last another hour and whatever it is. Hour, 45 minutes? How much time do we have left on this dog, bud?
About an hour and 45. Yeah, something like that.
On this dog?
On the show. I'm Margaret Gray. I'm interviewing Phil Henry, who suffers from sleep paralysis. He doesn't sleep very well. He has insomnia. He's got a bad back. He gets frequent headaches. And he thinks that he's fit to go on the radio every night? I don't think so. I'm Margaret Gray. Where's the toilet paper?
Are you done? I thought you were going to interview me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Phil, what happened to you last night?
I couldn't sleep.
No. What happened to you? We were playing bridge, and you got up.
We were playing a hand of bridge last night.
What's that?
It's a card game. I got up, and I went to bed.
Oh, okay. That's what I wondered. What happened to you last night? I'm Margaret Gray.
So that's it.
No, there's more questions, but... So you went to bed, why?
Because it was nighttime.
Okay, and what were you going to do?
Sleep.
Ah, sleep. Now, why would you do that?
Because at nighttime, people sleep.
I know that. I sleep at night.
Right, but you went to bed later than me because I was playing cards with you and Frank and I split, and you guys were still awake.
I don't know what you're saying. What is he saying?
Why don't you get out of here with these questions, okay? What are you trying to find out? I have insomnia, folks, and last night I couldn't sleep. And then, on top of everything else, I get this thing called sleep paralysis. Now, you can look it up. It's a weird, bizarre ailment. It is one that is suffered by a percentage of the population. I don't know what the frequency is, but I think it's a higher percentage, say, than a lot of things. But nonetheless, it's a really disturbing problem to have. And I have been able to keep this under control through diet.
So you get when you control how you eat?
I control how I eat. It lessens the frequency.
Oh, I thought it was going to increase it somehow.
Why would I want to do that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So I... Jeez.
I don't know, Phil. I don't have sleep paralysis. I don't know what you people do.
You people. Here we are again. So me and my sleep paralysis mates, we're all you people. You know...
Well, everyone's a victim, so...
So in any event, I have this sleep... Well, look at this. Now I got a break. I'm going to haul off and belt somebody. I can't hit a woman. And, Bud, I've already smacked you around enough... I don't know who. Maybe I'll just beat myself.
Why don't you cut yourself?
I can go get a razor blade. Go get some razor blades and I'll cut myself. That's great. In any event, I'm kidding. In any event, we'll be back here with more on this fantastically exciting thing that we're saying here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And, of course, a backstage pass gets you into our live-streaming videocast every night of the show. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more on the miserable night I spent. Hello, world-famous Phil Henry Show, back here from our studios at the El Pacifico. Debbie Daly is going to join us, and Debbie is a nationally syndicated, actually carried on a network on public radio. Debbie does a morning show, and I really should let people know, because oftentimes we have people complaining, and I don't blame them, you know. Debbie is hearing impaired, and so is sometimes difficult to understand.
And she's on the radio. Why?
She's on the radio. Why? Because she has a right to be on the radio.
She has a right to be. Ladies and gentlemen.
Margaret, I wish you wouldn't talk, address the audience. Address the audience through me, okay?
Yeah, Mr. Henry's the conduit. You go through him.
Where did you learn a word like conduit? Get him.
David Hall.
David taught him.
Well, why does Debbie Daly, who sounds like she's got a mouthful of nothing, just...
Let's just be charitable, okay? She wants to come on and talk about Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas, and I said to her that we'd be very happy to have her on the show. Just a reminder again, though, that our backstage pass available at philhenryshow.com gets you 5,000 hours of full show audio. It also gets you to our videocast archive. It gets you to our classic archive, our classic podcast, which is from our archive, and that is available daily, plus our daily show audio podcast and our news feed and our webisodes, including the Milwaukee Lions and all kinds of things there at philhenryshow.com. It's a great, great value, and we'd like you to be a part of our family. That's nice. All right. What?
Get Debbie Daly.
I know we got Debbie. Debbie Daly is on the line from New York City tonight, and very, very good to have you with us. Debbie, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Debbie, the Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas, what went wrong, says the headline. I know that you do a public radio show, but you like to round out, and most people think that public radio is very scholastic. There's a lot of very serious topics, or if not serious, they are topics that involve things far more, I guess, relevant than whether or not a celebrity's marriage is holding together. Why do you do this kind of material? Hold on, Debbie. Hold on. What?
I can't understand a thing. Debbie, hi, it's Margaret. What?
She said, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Debbie, I'm not going to start with you. I'm simply saying that most people... Now, how did I understand what she just said?
Because you're listening and you're not running your mouth.
Oh, my big fat yap. You know, at least I've got a big fat yap to yap, and I don't sound like once upon a time I put two fingers into a wall socket and stepped in a pan of water. I'm Margaret Gray. No, you can't use a dirty word, because even if people can't understand... Why am I talking?
Yeah, Margaret, why don't you split? Just get out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen, you should have seen Phil when he did that. He went, why don't you split?
Yeah, Dad, you gotta throw your shoulder out.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay, Debbie, sorry about the distraction. Tell me again why you would cover Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones. What? You had a Diet Pepsi.
Yeah.
So if they're nude, so you would cover them if they were nude, because who wants to see Michael Douglas nude? Is that what you said? Thank you for holding in the belch.
Yeah, people are calling in. They think there's a joke.
put them on the line so we can talk to them. That's fine. We'll go in here to, well, this is Darcy Collins. She's calling in from Alhambra. And just a reminder, folks, we are at 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445 of the Bradley Military Academy. RC, how are you?
I'm doing good, Mr. Henry. I wanted to talk to the lady that is on the radio. I don't think it's right, and I don't think it's correct. What? Well, are you pretending, or are you for real hard of hearing? Well, I mean, everything you're saying is all...
Yeah, we know that.
Tell you something you don't know? You're... Well, I better not say it. I was going to say, you're ugly. Well, you can...
All right. I don't think that taking phone calls, obviously, is the way to go. Maybe we ought to just continue. I think that you are bringing this on yourself, Debbie. And not necessarily on purpose, but people are going to react. People are going to react. Aren't you aware of that? Aren't you prepared for that? Are you there? I can hear you now. Yeah, go ahead. What? Okay, I heard what you just called me there.
Yeah, how come we know you just called Phil?
Don't say it.
But we can't hear nothing else.
Would you not take the Lord's name in vain, okay?
I heard that, Phil, and I... Debbie, you're supposed to be a liberal... Oh, well, that would mean you're against religion. Give the lady a cigar. I smoke cigars. What do you mean, looking at my teeth? You can figure that out.
You know what? This doesn't work. Who are you calling Stutters?
You.
You know what? If I were you, I wouldn't be knocking anybody's...
You wouldn't be talking about how good someone talk.
Thanks a lot, Debbie. Bug off, okay? She's the only person in the world. What?
You realize that tonight you haven't had one person on the show that you've been happy with. You hung up on people, they're hanging up on you. You tell everybody to go hell. Now you got Debbie Daly figuring out that's one lady that she'd be able to, you'd be able to talk to her normal. And you just told her to bug off, man. And she called you a gloid, called you an a-hole.
She did. She called me all of those names. What did I do wrong? All I'm trying to do is I was trying to protect her from that R.C. Collins punk.
Phil, you can't protect people like that. Let them wander into the swamp themselves. They're going to have to get themselves out of these... You know, your problem is you're always trying to save people. Isn't that what you said?
I said that once when you and I were conversing. Yeah, that was something I found out in therapy.
In therapy? God!
What's wrong with that?
That's just weak. Everybody knows you go to therapy.
Oh, is that right? You know, more people ought to go into therapy. I went into therapy because I was having some problems.
Yeah, I bet you were.
But the one problem I don't have, man, is hauling this right hand back and boom, just hitting the target with it. Catherine Zeta-Jones.
This is what I'm saying. This is the second story you've had to take over because the guest butchered it alive.
What was the first one?
Well, the whole hour with Barack Obama.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
All right. Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas, however right you are, Margaret, I have to press on here. Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas, a seemingly solid celebrity marriage, could be heading to a celebrity divorce, raising melancholy questions about the difficulty of staying together while in the grasp of fame, not to mention major illness and mental health struggles. Mental health struggles? Who's that?
Well, no doubt it's Michael Douglas as he daughters his way through life. I don't know.
Daughters his way through life. This guy just gave an Emmy-winning performance as
Liberace.
Liberace, that's right. He gave an Emmy-winning performance. He is far from doddering. This guy is at the top of his craft. Seems that way to me, anyway. So Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones are breaking up. The questions arise on the news that the two of them have separated. He's 68, she's 43. Now, that's, you know, that's a big, that's 25 years. Is that the age difference?
You know, you're making, I'll bet you anything she's dumping him like a bad habit. What do you think?
I don't know. The couple have weathered major medical setbacks in recent years. He battled throat cancer. That's because he had been practicing oral sex, right?
No, they said that was wrong.
Oh, that's right.
Well, that whole thing, that was sad, trying to make everyone think that he's the stud. Oh, yeah, the reason why I have throat cancer is because I, you know, I'm stud boy here. I'm all doo-doo.
Well, you know what, Margaret? You doing that is just as obscene as if I were to, so just please don't do that. And advanced, as evidenced by 50%, the 50% divorce rate, marriages are hard to begin with, and Hollywood marriages are that much harder because of travel, temptation, and other issues, says celebrity watcher Howard Bragman. I don't think that there's anything, yeah, there's a lot of temptation, and yeah, they're really hard to do, and yeah, all of that stuff, but how is that harder than the average marriage? Don't you think the average guy has his level of temptation?
Well, some girl winking at you at a barbecue, at a block party barbecue, is far different from some of these sluts. Well, excuse me for saying, folks, but I've been there, I've done that, I've seen. These sluts will throw themselves at... I've seen them do it with friends.
Yes, of course, it's the women's problem. It's their fault.
I've seen the slut time and again throw herself...
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. You've seen the slut.
I've seen the best sluts of my generation.
Famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. So we're talking about these, whatever the hell they call them, December-May marriages.
What's that?
December-May marriages, you know, I shouldn't even have to explain, because if you say,
what's that?
In the background one more time, that's one more reason for me to smack you around.
Well, why would you want to hit him for that?
Because I'm getting tired of people talking out of school around here, okay?
We did. You said that Mr. Hall said that I could.
You can interject the odd comment, okay? And by odd comment, there's no shortage of that coming from you, man. But all of this, what's that, what's that, what's that? I could talk about a milk bottle, cats, I could talk about, and you're going to be telling me what's that?
What? What are you talking about, a milk bottle?
Any stupid, silly thing I can talk about, you're going to ask me what it is. I could talk about a shoe, and you'll go, what's that?
No, I'm not. Not that way. Only one time you talked about was a Copernicus shoe?
What? No, it's a Capizio shoe, you jackass.
Capizio shoe. It's a Capizio shoe, man, okay?
What is that?
It's a freaking shoe, man. All right, so thank you very much. Frank Gray, I think we're making a phone call. Bud, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm waiting on... Hey, hold on. Hey, Frank. Hey, what's up? It's Bud Dickman.
Okay, so we're on the air, and this is how Bud screens calls. He's talking to Frank Gray. Margaret, how old, if you don't mind me asking, how old is Frank?
Frank is 75, and I just turned 55. So that's 5, 10, 25 years, right?
No, that's 20 years.
Well, no, it isn't, Phil. And please, I'm the one that graduated. I graduated from college.
Okay, 75, 55, that's 20 years.
Hold on. Yeah, it is 20 years.
All right, so it's 20 years. So big deal, 25, 20.
Great. But the point is, it's not as wide a gap as Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Well, that's the point that I want to make. Pardon me? I'm sorry, Phil, but as long as I'm on your program, I will not put my esophagus at risk by stifling a belch and allowing my... Well, you've heard the...
Yeah, I've heard your reasoning. I'd love to get a doctor on. In fact, Dr. Ron Tarner, Dr. Jim Sadler...
How about a real doctor and not those quacks... I swear to God, if Dr. Ron Tarner doesn't wind up at the end of a rope someday, I will be shocked.
God, did you hear that?
What are you talking about?
You heard what I said.
What does that mean?
If Dr. Rutt... Well, I better not.
Yeah, if he hears that, he's going to sue you. And I mean sue you big time. All right. Frank Gray at his office in... Frank is still at the Burning the Midnight Oil. He's an entertainment attorney. He's also a former television producer. He and Margaret met when he was producing a ill-fated CBS pilot called... What was it called, Margaret?
It was called Bunkhouse. And it started... we had a wonderful cast. We had Cameron Mitchell, who at the very beginning... You remember Cameron Mitchell, Phil? Do you know Cam Mitchell at all, Phil? Cam Mitchell?
No, I don't know Cameron Mitchell.
No, we called... But friends called him Cam. Did you know Cam?
No, I didn't know Cam.
Well, what are you looking at me like I'm some, like I'm something that just came out of your you-know-what? I mean, I...
Margaret, I didn't know Cam.
Well, that's what friends called him. And anyway, Cam Mitchell opened up with... He'd be ringing the dinner bell, which was the triangle.
Yeah, that's pitching away the triangle. Ding-a-ling-a-ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Yeah.
Well, man, we don't need you doing the sound effects.
No, a triangle. It's a dinner bell.
Yes. And it would start out with ding-ding-ding-ding-ding. Bunkhouse! The CBS Television Network presents Bunkhouse. Well, Frank is here. Frank, darling.
Hey, Phil. Margaret, how are you?
Well, I'm good, honey. How are you?
Yeah, I'm better than Custer. Phil, how you doing?
Good, Frank. Margaret and I were talking about the way the pilot that you produced, Bunkhouse, started. And I guess you remember, maybe, do you remember more specifically than Margaret?
Well, Margaret's got it basically right. Cam Mitchell was a very dear friend, a tremendous actor, and did a lot of Westerns. And it starts out with her standing there, and she's ringing the bell, and she's wearing the chaps and a cowboy boot, and she's got on the cowboy hat. She looks every bit the cowboy, and she's ding-a-ling-da-ding, just like Bud said. Bunko Squad was the name of another show. It wasn't Bunko Squad. It was Bunkhouse, because there was a program called Bunko Squad that starred Lee Marvin, and this was her first starring role.
I thought Lee Marvin started in M Squad.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, Lee Marvin started... No, 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 no. Lee Marvin started out in television... he had been married to Lee, and then he moved on and became a producer.
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Gail Patrick Harris. He was the one that produced Perry Mason. But he had been living with Lee Marvin.
How did we get on Gail Patrick Harris?
Yes.
Because Lee Marvin had starred in Perry Mason with Raymond Burr. And she liked working with... Let me just get back to what it was I was saying.
Yeah, I don't understand that left turn we just took. So we're talking here about the let's just get... The pilot was called Bunkhouse, and it starred who?
All right, the pilot was Bunkhouse. We had Cam Mitchell. We had Cam Mitchell. We had William Demarest as Chappie, who was the cook. We had Hop Singh, I forget the name of the actor, but she was the one that played Hop Singh on Banana.
You mean Bonanza?
It's called Bonanza, honey.
Banana. Ow!
Shut up.
I'm sorry. Yes, that's right. It's Bonanza. And I wanted to get Lauren Green, but she was under contract to NBC. So we had Cameron Mitchell, William Demarest. I believe we had all the guys that were on My Three Sons. We had William Frawley, she, and William Demarest. I mean, the pilot didn't go. It was a real shame. It was bad. It wasn't very good.
Well, Margaret was in it, too.
Yes, I played Darnell. I was the young girl that worked in the bunkhouse.
Well, Darnell, and that was probably one of the reasons why we didn't get picked up, because Darnell, as originally written, slept with every cowhand in the greater Sedonia area. Now, Sedonia was a fictitious area of Texas/New Mexico, and that's how I insisted the actors call it Mexico, and the audience, they didn't get that either, so they thought it was too Hispanic, it was too... So I was talking to Cameron Mitchell, and I said, what do you think of the character of Darnell? And she said Darnell should sleep with every cowhand that's ever even set eyes on the Circle J. Now, the reason why we got canceled as well is because they didn't like the name Circle J, because J stands for jerk. And they thought that...
Boy, you guys were making every bad move you could make.
Oh, there, my friend. Hold the phone. It was a damn good show. At the time, we were dealing with a guy by the name of Bidjil Neely, and she was a real pain in the ass. She was running the CBS Entertainment Division, and I'd go in, and I would have these knockdown, drag-out fist fights with this guy. And she's, you know, you can't have the Circle J, and you can't have Darnell.
Well, I mean, Frank, the show sounded like it was pretty adult. I mean, you got this character, Darnell, that's sleeping with every cowhand in the greater Sedonia area, wherever that is.
Well, what do you mean where I just got done telling you where it is? It's a fictitious area, but it was, fictitious or not, it was in Arizona. And he slept with all the cows. So Darnell was a young, innocent girl, a young, innocent, beautiful, little, fragrant girl, and he slept with all the cowhands.
Really? Even Cam?
Well, yeah, even her. So, Cam Mitchell's character, I think, was named Brewster or Buster or Buddy Gopher Broke, something like Bodega. I don't know what her name was, but it was a great character.
I'm talking here with Frank Gray and Margaret Gray about Bunkhouse, the show that they both were. Frank, you were the producer. Margaret was one of the stars. Let me ask you a question. Was Margaret cast because you were, you know, at that time dating her?
I think so. What do you think, honey?
Yes, I was. I was cast because, I'll tell you why I was cast. Frank and I were playing leapfrog in his office. I wasn't wearing underwear. The story is very well told. It's all over town. It's all over Hollywood. It is like filth. It's like graffiti on every toilet stall in Hollywood. What Frank and I did in his office that day. Why do you keep bringing it up?
Margaret, I'm sorry. It was a question.
I got to tell you, he's a little upset, Phil, because he doesn't like the whole story of the leapfrog. Although for me, it was a wonderful moment when he jumped over me and I looked up his skirt. And
okay, yeah. So getting back to, by the way, for people that are listening in, Frank, would you just talk to Margaret for a minute? Just distract him, will you?
Yeah, Frank.
For people that are listening in, Frank Gray suffers from something called gender confusion. He doesn't know, he knows, but he just doesn't get the right gender out. That's why he's calling Cameron Mitchell her, and that sweet little innocent Darnell, he slept with all the cowboys.
So that's what I want to do, honey.
What we can do is get her we'll get her a new baseball outfit.
We were just talking about Jason J. Delmonico, our son.
Right. All right, well, Frank, before we let you go, December...
Hold on, well, is there something wrong with you? Are you listening to her? Margaret, are you listening to her? She's going...
Well, Phil has been under a little bit of pressure tonight. There's been a lot of weird things happening here mechanically. I'm sure you understand.
Yeah, sure, whatever. I don't know anything about the radio business. To me, it seems like the just only freaks and weirdos to where... You should have gone into television. You want, and because at least you get the eye candy and everything that you do. All right. So, Phil, what was it you wanted to ask?
I want to know about the May-December thing with Margaret. She's 20 years younger than you. How's it worked out?
I tell you something. He is the greatest little wife that any man could have. I think he's beautiful. He's gorgeous. We paid for his breast enhancement. Which I know he's not upset with me saying. Are you, honey?
No, not at all.
And he is, he's a great mother to our son. She looks up to him. And I'm very, very happy. I couldn't have asked for a better wife than him.
All right. Well, thank you very, very much, Frank, for being with us.
You know my name, right?
Yeah.
You're going,
Yeah, Frank, thank you.
You know what? You laughing doesn't help.
Well, what? I mean, the guy's like, he's the best little wife a guy could have. All right, so that's fine. Thank you very, very much, Frank. You're a good man for being on the line with us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back here. We're going to take a very, very quick break and come back with a little bit more of a review on other things in Hollyweird, including Miley Cyrus and Justin Bieber. I guess they got together and made a record, and it guess when it was released? Oh, is that right? Right after she did the whole thing there in the at the VMAs? Well, there's some really good timing. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Well, Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I got my glasses caught here, bud.
Yeah, let me try and get them.
Yeah, thank you. My glasses are caught in the cord to the...
What are you doing? Bud, you got the cord around my neck.
Well, that's an interesting effect.
He's strangling me. Get the cord off of my neck, you jackass. What are you doing?
Just trying to get... Ah, here they are.
Yeah, but look where you got the cord.
Oh, sorry.
God! Guy's cutting my ear off.
Well, Phil, you got in the way.
I got in the way. I'm sitting here. These are my headphones. I'm wearing them. All I'm saying is I got the glasses caught in the cord, and this guy's trying to strangle me.
The only way I knew how to get the glasses.
You're going to strangle a guy?
Yeah, that's the only way.
Oh, I see. Well, that's good thinking, bud. The only way to get the glasses is to kill the guy. Wow. Phew. All right, Frank, or excuse me, Harvey Wireman, you know, what is this, old the old folks? We do have Harvey Wireman. Why do we have Harvey and Frank scheduled back-to-back?
Because they're having a Caesar salad over Ted's.
Oh, a Caesar salad at Ted's, great. Harvey Wireman and Frank Gray, brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills, doing the reporting tonight and giving us the lowdown on what is happening in the world of news, in the world of big-time news. What the hell is that? That sounds like a flatline of some kind. Let me get on the line here, Harvey Wireman. Harvey, I know you wanted to talk with us about the Fort Hood shooter.
Fort Hood shooter was sentenced to death today. And I do want to thank Frank for picking up the tab at the dinner.
Oh, so he did pick up the tab.
Who's that?
This is Margaret.
Margaret who?
It's Frank's wife.
Oh, Margaret, yeah. Yeah, he did. He picked up, it was a $300 tab because of the drinks we ordered. And we had the porterhouse, you know, and Ted, he loves to torture human beings with the prices that he charged.
Are you feeling okay tonight?
I feel fine. I'm just old, for God's sake. This guy, are you feeling okay? I'm old, Phil. I'm a World War II veteran. That means I'm pushing 90, you know? 90. Understand? All right, this is Harvey Wireman. Tonight we're going to look at the Fort Hood shooter and what he did.
A military jury on Wednesday.
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to you. Are you reading that correctly?
As far as I can get a load of this. Since when did you become J.C. on the cross? Everything on that...
Well, it is his show, Harvey.
I know it's his show. He brought me on to do with the sentence of the Fort Hood shooter. And that's what I aim to do, all right? Do you mind?
Go ahead. I'm just telling you, we're mispronouncing the... Wednesday.
Well, who said that?
You did.
All right. Well, millipede on Wednesday sentenced the U.S. Army. How could that happen?
How could what happen?
Buddy, you. I got to tell you, Phil. If I were you, I'd get in quick and have a full diagnostic run.
Harvey, Phil's asking the question, how it is that the U.S. Army was sentenced by a millipede?
Read the story again. This is about the Fort Hood shooter. It's a military jury. They sentenced this guy who's a U.S. Army psychiatrist.
I know. You don't have to do it for me. I know. A U.S. Army psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist to death for murdering 13. Is that a phone number?
Boy, this guy.
How old are you now, Harvey? I just want to know.
Wouldn't you like to know? Old enough to kick your... All right, so murdering 13 people in 2009 at Fort Hood, Texas, where he gunned down unarmed soldiers in what he later called
retaliation. Okay, this story is far too important to have you carve it up.
What do you mean carve it up?
You're reading this thing like you don't have your glasses. Do you have your glasses?
I have, yes, and they're my real glasses. They're not the Walt Disney World purple ones that my granddaughter Cassidy or Kimberly Ann. I've given her three or four names, and I'm hoping that I get one right.
What are you talking about?
Well, he's calling his granddaughter by a variety of names, like a scattershot thing.
How about asking your daughter what your granddaughter's name is?
I have asked my daughter, and I forget. That's why I'm using... Are you ready for this, guy? Why do you think I'm using five or six names? Watch, I'll call my granddaughter. Kimberly Ann, Susie Q, Maybelline, Nadine, Barbara Ann. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty contemporary series of names there. I'm sure that that children these days are named Nadine and Maybelline.
Oh, well, look at the races. Today, the very day that Martin Luther King walked all the way down to the Capitol, to wherever he took a walk down there to the Lincoln, and on this day, you...
Oh, come on. Get out of here.
We do.
Fell asleep. Fort Hood shooter sentenced to death. A military... What is it with this guy? He's calling his daughter what?
No, this is his granddaughter. He's calling his granddaughter. It was something that I think was written about in one of the children's books. Or not children, but how to treat children or how to address children in these modern times. Dean Wheeler wrote something up on it.
Yeah?
Well, don't look at me, Phil, like I belong in a nut house.
Well, what exactly are we talking about here? What are we talking about here?
We're talking about if you can't remember a child's name.
Oh, yeah, okay. So what he does is he calls out five different names that are all, like, from the 1950s, hoping that he gets one right? I mean, this is insanity.
Well, I mean, he said, hey, Kimberly Ann.
That one's pretty modern.
Yeah, he said, hey, Kimberly Ann, Nadine, Maybelline, and Barbara Ann, and then I think one other one, like Gertrude. Is his daughter named any of those?
Yes, his granddaughter, Phil.
I'm sorry, is his granddaughter named any of those?
Yes, his granddaughter's name is Gertrude.
His granddaughter's name is Gertrude?
Yes. 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 God.
So I guess I had him all wrong.
Sure did. You had him all wrong. He had everything right. Call her Gertrude.
Although I think it's something along the lines of Jasmine, Kimberly, Gertrude. But the fact remains that Harvey had it under control until you butchered it alive. God almighty, Phil.
I apologize, Harvey. Wherever you are, I apologize. And where he is right now is probably fast asleep on the floor of his office.
Well, if you'd been a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show in our final hour here tonight. PhilHenryShow.com. If I'd been a little more interesting... Famous Phil Henry Show, or should I say, world famous Phil Henry Show?
You're ripping off Tom Likas, man.
You're ripping comb over boy.
Oh, am I ripping off comb over boy? No, I don't mean to be ripping him off. Sorry, Tom. It just happened to be. It came up on the bumper file here, man. Enter Sandman by Metallica. I mean, come on, you know, he doesn't own it, does he? Metallica does. Anyway, welcome to the world famous Phil Henry Show. You're our final hour. And speaking of Metallica, there, if you really want to point to the beginning of this entire copyright feud that has suffused, if you will, certain areas of the internet, it started pretty much with those guys when they said to Napster, hey, excuse me, but do you mind if we make money off of our records? Yes, we do. Well, then we're going to have to, you know, do something about it. So they're the ones that essentially they shut Napster down. Did you see Social Network?
Yes, I did. And don't tell me. Justin Timberlake played the guy.
Yes, Timberlake played the guy that started Napster. Timberlake was great in that movie, as everybody knows, who saw it. He played the guy that started Napster, who then went on to assist in the founding of and the managing of Facebook. So it was quite a... I didn't know that so many paths crossed, if you will, as they did back in those days. So... There is Enter Sandman, and here I am, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You talk about your Sandman, you put people asleep.
Well, what are you going to do, okay? Good for them, man. They can use that. It's a world-famous Phil Hendry show, and a couple of things that I wanted to take care of. One of the things was the, I started to talk about it last hour, was the whole sleep paralysis thing, and that is a that is a discussion that I actually started the pre-show because I was discussing having insomnia, and we have enough people who are interested in this thing called sleep paralysis that I should describe what it is, because it kind of freaks people out. They're not really sure what I'm talking about.
Well, it isn't something that most people have, and they think that it's psychosomatic.
Well, I think I've already talked about that aspect on the show. I mean, I what happens is this, you guys. You wake up, but you're not completely awake. You're in that twilight state between sleep and full consciousness. You're in this kind of, the eyes are squinted open, and you think you see the room around you, but it doesn't quite look like the room around you. Suddenly you realize you may be dreaming, but you're not sure. You go to move your body, and you can't. So I think you're still asleep. People are still asleep, but the consciousness has, at least the conscious mind has taken over sufficiently to at least make out the faint outline of being awake. But there's still some sleep happening. You get it?
No, I don't.
What are you talking about?
Well, you know, I'm sorry, but you're going to have, I'm going to have to see somebody's graduation certificate from elementary school before I go on talking about this.
That isn't it. I graduated from elementary school. I graduated 1 year late from elementary school.
I'm not being serious. Are you serious? You graduated late?
Are you serious about wanting a diploma?
No, I'm not. But now I know that you, maybe I better see one.
Yeah, Bob, see one if you didn't get out of elementary school.
I did get out. What do you mean, didn't get out of elementary school?
But you did graduate.
Yes, I graduated a year late.
Why, because you're a dumbass?
A dumbass?
Hey! Shit.
You call me that.
Ow!
Shut up, bud. So anyway, yeah. What I'm talking about here is you're in this state, this twilight state. And you can't move your body. You can't move it for love or money, man. Now, as I had said on an earlier show, you're thinking maybe it's psychological. In fact, one of my doctor at the time said to me, gee, I wonder if it's a psychological thing. He said, I haven't been able to figure this out. Now, this was, you know, some 30 years ago when he said this, and maybe things have changed now. Maybe doctors do know. But he said, I would love to experiment and see if people, if their lives were in danger, if there was a real threat, would you snap out of the sleep paralysis? Your conscious mind takes over fully the survival thing, and you jump out of bed and you run, say if it's a fire or something like that.
So you tested this, didn't you?
I tested the theory, and the way I tested the theory was one night I woke up, and sure enough, or I woke up in the way you wake up with sleep paralysis, and there I was, and I couldn't move, and I decided that I would rock myself back and forth as best as I could to the edge of the bed and throw myself off the bed.
What? What are you talking about?
Are you listening to me?
Well, Phil, it's a little bit... You're throwing yourself off of a what?
Off of a bed.
Well, when you say throwing yourself off of something...
People think about it like a roof or something.
No. Well, yeah, that's right. I was asleep and I decided to throw myself off a roof.
Who's the guy that fell off a roof?
Will you shut up? It was a guy that I knew. It was Mike Birbiglia. He tells this. Mike's a comic, and he tells the story of literally sleepwalking right out of a window one night, five floors up. It's unbelievable.
You got to be lying about that one. You're lying.
No, I'm not, man. No, I'm not. I'm not going to tell his story for him. Mike's a terrific guy, and I had the great honor of working with him. And it was just during a break, and he was telling this story to me. And because I think I was telling him about my sleep paralysis. He said, yeah, well, try this one on for size. Mike's father is a doctor, and so he's okay today. But the story he told about that was just blowing me away, man. But in any event, I decided I'd rock myself back and forth and throw myself off the edge of the bed. The thinking being that I would know I'm falling, and I would break my fall. No matter how paralyzed I was from the sleep paralysis, I would reach down and break my fall.
And did you?
No, I did not. I fell, bam, right there on the floor. I didn't hit my head, but I remember my shoulder and my arm hitting, and it hurt. And I also remember my wife, Maria, waking up and looking over the edge of the bed and with the look on her face like, what the hell are you doing? What did you just do? And you can imagine how goofy that is. Your husband or your mate just rolled themselves out of bed and bang, he makes a hell of a noise. And I think I'd hit the nightstand or something going down the one story of mattresses.
What do you mean, like one story?
Yeah, if it was a building.
No, I'm just making it up. So, if it was a building.
If you're building a mattress.
No, that was proof enough that it is not a psychological phenomenon, but that does have a physical component that's very strong. So, it all went away for me when I went on the diet.
Now, what did you do in the diet that you think made the sleep paralysis go away?
Sugar. Stopped eating sugar. I stopped eating sugar, large amounts of sugar. I got to believe that that's it. Because I'm going to tell you something. You want to know what happened to me last night? I went to bed, and I had just eaten a couple of those Reese's miniatures, those candy, because I love those things, man.
You know, I still had a Reese's miniature, man. That thing will pack that pound, like all kinds of fat on your ass.
Yeah.
I don't eat them by the bag, man. I had two of them. But what happened was I had some sugar before I went to bed, and I think that that's what did it. Because I woke up last night. I was laying on my side. I saw the room around me, and I went to move, and I couldn't move. And I went, oh, no. You know, and in your mind, you're thinking, oh, man, I got to go through this again.
Well, what are you doing to move?
You just start moving. You just, and I can't describe this, but for me, this is what happens. I don't want to not move. If I stop moving and I just relax back into sleep, I'm afraid that I'll be paralyzed forever. It's a crazy thought. It doesn't make any sense, but that's just...
Yeah, but maybe that's true on account of the other one's true, that you fell out of bed.
What are you talking about, man?
I know what he's saying. You're right, bud. You're right. It's true that it has a physical component, so maybe if I do relax back to sleep, or I relax back and I don't try to fight the paralysis, maybe I will for the duration be paralyzed. I don't know, man. It's kind of scary. It's not pleasant, but at least I do know how to control it. And like I said, it's has something to do with the sugar that I eat. It has something to do with the diet, you know? So,
when you stop being fat.
Yes, when you decided not to be a fat ass.
That's right.
Well, Phil, I mean...
When I decided not to be a fat ass anymore, that's true. All right, we're coming back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. You know what, man? Somebody's trying to sell me a house. I just might buy it. The real estate prices are you know, they're actually still pretty good, although they're coming up. And I'm going to kind of lead you guys through the process that I've been going through myself, thinking about buying a house.
You're out of your mind.
I know I'm out of my mind, but, you know, we'll see. World famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. Welcome back to world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com here Wednesday night, you know, and we are into our third week here of rebooting the show. I made an announcement on our pre-show, and I will do it now here on the regular show because I'm not at liberty, but, I can say, though, that we're on, am I allowed to say about our new Sacramento affiliate?
I don't know, Phil. If I were you, I would say, but don't tell anyone you did. Now I know you're on the radio. I know that's, you know, I don't want you calling me names behind my back.
I'm not calling you names, Margaret, but it doesn't make any sense. It's like you whispering, you know, I have hemorrhoids. Everyone's going to hear it.
All right, fine. Thank you for that, by the way. Okay, so everyone knows.
Yeah, you announced it.
I don't care. I announce it, not him. Me, I. I do it, not him.
All right, sorry.
But I'm saying, if you can announce to the listeners... the new market that you're in, but not get them to hear it, you know?
Really?
Don't talk like a smartass.
What are you talking about?
Here, I'll show you what I mean. Hello, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray, and Phil is on in an exciting new market in the state of California, but it's not in Southern California, and it's not the city you're thinking of in Northern California, but it does start... Well, I better not say. How about that? Forget I even exist then.
It's not, I'm not trying to find fault with you, okay? I'm just saying that doesn't, it's not gunning my engine.
It's not, do I look like I'm giving lap dances?
Yeah, well, it's a,
no, you don't look like, are you going to the bathroom?
Yes, I am.
What is that supposed to mean, man? So let me just say this. We have exciting news. Exciting news that we will announce next week. I was going to announce it tonight, but we're not going to announce it tonight because we are not 100%. We're 99%. We have exciting news that we are back on in a market that we were on in for a long time, and we've been off for a long time, and we're so happy to be back. And I wish I could tell you, but I will tell you this, that we've had so many inquiries from that great city, and you guys who live there, you have not long to wonder. Our very good friend Ken Charles, who has put us on the air in Houston, he's put us on the air in Miami, is now embracing the Phil Henry brand, as they say, the Phil Henry show, the Phil Henry theatrical radio audio extravaganza that WE-EM is. And Ken is going to be, again, placing our show on his station. Which one that is, I will not say, because I want to wait to see whether or not it's okay to say, if it's, you know, like that.
Might get Mr. Hall on the phone.
Yeah, now that's a good thing to ask Hall, instead of him calling in and telling me not to say words like heavy and pole and all that. Is that him there?
Well, let me call him up. No, that's not him. That's just, it's just a phone booth I dialed.
What do you mean it's a phone booth you dialed?
They'll just dial. If you want to find David Hall, he'll call up like a bunch of phone booths.
What do you mean you call up a bunch of phone booths?
Just to see if he's walking down the street.
You must be dumber than you look, man. What do you mean just to see he's walking down the street?
What am I going to do with all these phone numbers?
Throw them away for all I care. You're calling phone booths where?
They're different cities.
I told you, Phil, the guy is all jacked up.
Just continue your bathroom duties, Margaret.
Whatever.
Bud, if you've got phone numbers to a bunch of phone booths all over America and you're dialing them just to see if David's walking down the street, you got a problem, friend. You got a real serious problem.
Why do I got a problem? Don't you think there'd be a chance a guy'd be doing it?
No, I do not think there's a chance. No, I don't.
Not even a little bit of a chance?
Are you encouraging him in this behavior? No, not even a little bit of a chance. Let's see, where's David tonight? I know what I'll do. I'll just randomly call all these phone booth numbers that I have. Let's see, Denver, Colorado. How do you do it?
Well, generally, alphabetically, I'll start out Abilene, Texas. Okay? Then Applemonte, or not Applemonte. What does that say?
Apple Valley.
Apple Valley. And then
Applemonte?
Yeah, and then next one, Beanfield, and then Buttersquash.
What are these towns?
No, wait, it's a laundry list. No, it's a grocery.
Well, no, that laundry list, too.
Yeah, Buttersquash, that's the color of the pants.
Give me that, will you? Abilene, Atlanta, Miami. You got all these phone, where did you get these numbers?
Guy mailed them to me.
Bud, I got news for you, man, and I don't know how to break the news to you, but I'm going to do it as gently as I can. You're not going to find anybody just randomly dialing phone booths around the country. Better just call the number that the guy's probably going to be at.
Which one?
Well, which one do you think it'd be, man? His number.
Oh!
Oh, baby.
That way, I mean, you told us to try and be proactive.
That ain't what I call proactive, man. That's pro-something. It's like pro-mental illness, but it ain't proactive. That's for sure. Okay, so now you guys know what sleep paralysis is. Dr. Jim Sadler has been on our program before to talk about sleep paralysis and to talk about these different issues relative to the way that we treat ourselves and the way that we take care of ourselves. Dr. Sadler, how are you?
Real good, Phil. Thanks for having me on the program.
So sleep paralysis, as I described it, is that pretty much what you treat?
Well, yeah, it is. Sleep paralysis is a form of, believe it or not, it's related to narcolepsy. Narcolepsy is a kind of sleep disorder whereby the individual falls asleep or loses muscular control when there is a very strong emotional reaction. The newspaper clippings that Bud had sent me, I didn't want to talk about, but I guess there's nothing I can do because he put them on your website.
What newspaper clippings?
There's one here about Dr. Sadler when he's down at the L.A. Airport in strip club.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I didn't want to come on the program tonight. I knew he had these clippings. I would rather get out in front of it myself than to have this guy. But you know that I respect you, and I think you're a good kid. I don't think anyone that drools you know, and I shouldn't, but anyone that drools the way you do, and no one does anything about it. That's the remarkable thing.
You talk about Bud?
Yeah, I'm talking about Bud. What do you think I'm talking about?
What do you mean drools?
That kid has got drool coming out of his mouth just about every time I see him.
Well, I don't see it right now.
Well, it happens when he's around me.
I don't know, maybe I'm allergic to you.
Yeah, sure, that's it. You're allergic to me. I'm not going to take his word for nothing, okay? So what I'm saying is this. Sleep paralysis is related to narcolepsy. And narcolepsy is when you get a kind of a... You fall asleep, but you get emotional.
Well, hold on. I know you don't want to talk about it, but what is this newspaper clipping from the L.A. airport strip clubs?
It was a newspaper clipping in the L.A. Times. It happened about 10 years ago, where I collapsed inside one of these clubs.
You collapsed. Okay, so was that narcolepsy?
Yes, it was narcolepsy.
Well, that from? You got all emotional evidence?
Well, three guesses.
Well, I mean, so the woman took her clothes off.
Well, no, I was getting a lap dance. I can't believe I'm talking about it. You know, I'm a married man.
Well, you know, Bud, what are you doing with these kinds of clippings?
I don't know. I figure we should have them.
All right, I don't like the way you said that. Are you trying to blackmail people?
No, I found it. You said Dr. Sandler, and I found it.
Let me see this. An L.A. area physician, this is when you were living in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
An L.A. area physician was found unconscious on the floor of Donahue's adult entertainment near the Los Angeles International Airport yesterday after suffering a narcoleptic-style attack. The doctor, Dr. Jim Sadler, who is himself a GP, blah, 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 blah. So you had narcolepsy.
Yeah, what happened was, if you've been over there to Donahue Adult Entertainment near the L.A. airport, she's not there anymore. If she is, I don't even want to know because it was 10 years ago. She can't look all that good. But they had that girl over there, Lambikins or whatever her name was. Do you remember this? Oh, you guys don't go to those places, huh?
No, I don't go there. How about you?
No.
Well, who am I going to relate to? I'm trying to get some feeling of comfort.
I'm sorry, you're on your own here, Dr. Sadler. So you were Lambikins.
Yeah, some kind of a baby name like that. And she was doing a lap dance for me and wearing she was wearing like a lamb costume. I don't want to say it's a lamb. She was dressed like she was a sheep. Okay?
The sheep!
What a queer. God,
all right, let's watch the language.
Did you hear what that guy did?
Yeah, I heard him. I want to get to this so that we can get out of this. So Lambikins was dressed up as a sheep.
Yes. And I got emotionally overwhelmed by it, and I collapsed, and I was unconscious, and it was narcolepsy. And it made the paper because they thought I'd had a heart attack. And because at that time I was the UCLA Medical Center, I was one of the number one trauma surgeons there. What is that music I'm hearing?
We're taking a break. Hold on. Dr. Jim Sadler.
Okay, because that was frightening.
That's fine. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com as we talk to Dr. Jim Sadler here about his narcolepsy. I had no idea. I had no idea that that kind of thing was, you know, narcolepsy, and I've had these sleep problems myself for a long time, but I've never had narcolepsy, which is just spontaneously shutting down if you get too emotional. All right, we'll be back here with Dr. Sadler and more. Our number is 855-500-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The world famous Phil Henry Show here, our last half hour together tonight. Interesting conversation. Well, interesting for me. I kind of dig to a point talking about this stuff because, man, I'm, like I said, you know, I don't claim to be a normal guy. I'm pretty, and this sleep paralysis thing is pretty whacked out. So we have with us Dr. Jim Sadler, who is often on the show talking about these medical issues. We have some callers too who want to talk to him. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. So, Dr. Sadler, just to the point of what you were saying, you have narcolepsy. You spontaneously collapsed in this nightclub. and it made the news. I'm interested. I know that you were prominently you were prominently placed at UCLA Medical Center. Is that why?
I mean, you know, if you read the story, Dickman's got the story. Somebody pulled my pants down. It was an obvious effort at making me. I never did find out, you know, who done it.
Can I ask a question? Why, Dr. Sadler? You've been on the program before. Why is your grammar so bad?
My grammar is. I don't care. You know, I don't care. I've told you before, and I'll tell you again. I don't care. I got a medical degree. I helped save lives, and saving lives is what I want to do. You know.
I understand, but I've never heard a doctor say I don't done it, and things like that.
What? I didn't say that.
All right. I agree with Margaret, though, Doc. You've got really, really atrocious grammar. Our number is 855-500-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show. Now we have on the line here. Mr. Lloyd Bonafide from Alhambra, who he says you know him, and...
I know Roy. Is he on the phone?
Dr. Sadler, Lloyd Bonafide, Alhambra, California, sir. How are you?
Dr. Sadler here. Lloyd, how are you? How have you been?
Well, I've been good. You recall treating me for the carbuncle... And the hemorrhoids. I don't want to get too graphic.
Yeah, I do remember. How have you been?
I've been very good. I'm retired now.
Well, good. Are you enjoying retirement?
Yeah. I'm enjoying all it. But I want to get to the point. I was driving down the road and flipped on the radio, listened to the Phil Henry Show as much as I can. And I was with my wife, and I heard your voice, and I said, "By God, can it possibly be true?" And my wife, Helen, said, "By God, I think it is true. That's Lips Sadler, and that was our nickname for you."
Yeah, no, I know that was your nickname, Phil. Just so you and your listeners can be up to date, this man and his wife were very disrespectful to me when they were coming to see me.
You called him Lips Sadler? Was that the nickname that you gave him, sir?
Yeah, we called him Lips Sadler because he was always there. But I've got one other reason why.
And also, he imagines that I took his girlfriend away from him.
No, I don't imagine anything, sir. I know it happened. Now, this is difficult for me to talk to because I was married at the time.
Aren't you still married, Lloyd?
Yes, I'm still married. Yes.
And you were married at the time?
Yes. All right, you guys want to make a federal case out of that? What about this gentleman, Sadler, with his pants yanked down and in a strip club?
I was a single man at that time, you see, so there's nothing you can say. Sticks and stones is going to break a bone.
Yeah, oh, it'll break a bone, all right.
Well, you know, I came on the program, Phil.
All right, hold on. I want to hear this story. So what happened? How do you two guys know each other? How did you interact? What happened?
It's very simply this. I had an understanding with Janelle... Corley, this is the name of the legal name of the dancer Lambikins that he's talking about there at the Dunahee Adult Entertainment Center near L.A. International Airport. Now, I had an understanding that on Tuesday nights I would come in, sit comfortably, I would order a Dewar's in water or what have you, and then I'd give her a $20 bill, and then she would lap dance for me and me alone. Now, this was the exclusivity clause.
There's no exclusivity clause, sir. You know that as well as I do, that the dancers are going to dance for the
Can you imagine a guy that talks like that? This guy had more of his ass,
All right, let's watch the language, okay?
I don't appreciate that.
I'm very, very sorry. I'm not that kind of a man. I'm sorry. I just, it bothers me, Dr. Sadler, that... walk into a place that I happen to like out there at LAX, and I drove 50, 60 miles round trip just to go out there and get one stinking lap dance from that Lambikins, and I found out that you'd spoiled her, that you'd ruined her.
Are you listening to this guy? He thinks that somehow I, you know, ruined her, you know?
Are you listening to this guy?
Mm-hmm.
You see, Dr. Sadler,
no, I want Mr. Henry and his audience to understand, I didn't know you from Adam. I got lap dances from this young lady. You know, I tipped her. You gave her a $20 bill, so who do you think she's going to go and do the lap dance for?
I would think she'd want a lap dance for a Korean War veteran and not some guy missing half of his tongue because he tried to French kiss an ocelot, and the whole thing went to hell in a handcart one lonely, cold streak, rain streak night.
All right, okay, this is very interesting. Hold on, gentlemen. We're talking here with Dr. Jim Sadler and this caller, Lloyd, from Alhambra. What I'm understanding here...
Okay, can I jump in?
No. Hold on, Doc, please. What I'm understanding here is that the two of you went to the same strip club, and both of you desired lap dances from this one dancer, and Lloyd, you're telling me that on a given Tuesday night when you went in there to get the lap dance...
Yeah, she was given a lap dance here to Lips.
Do not appreciate the nickname at all, okay?
Well, that's the nickname you've got, because it... Yeah, boy, I tell you.
You know, Lloyd, I got to tell you something. Whether or not Dr. Sadler was paying this dancer more money and hence got more lap dances, you're married, and you were married. What is the story with you going into this joint?
You know, have you ever heard of something called the artistic kind of stuff? You know, that kind of, you know, I like it. I want to look at it because it's artistic.
Yeah, I bet you want to look at it.
Oh, boy, yeah.
You know, Mr. Henry, this guy, he wants to stare right up there, you know what, and oh, look at how artistic that is. Oh, yeah, it's artistic, all right. You know? And it comes in smell-o-vision, too. This guy...
All right, watch the language. So he got the dance, and what happened?
What happened was, because he just said he was found with his pants, he went into a full narcoleptic collapse. I recognized it because I've seen guys go through it in Korea. Now, I was in the United States Navy, and I'll never forget the Chosin Reservoir. Well, we're trying to get guys out, and the Chinese were firing on us like a... they were raking us with a... they got us caught in the crossfires, you know. And anyway, I saw guys fall asleep right at a machine gun, you know. They couldn't take it anymore. So when I saw that Sadler went down for the count, I went over, undid his belt, and pulled his pants down, and said, yeah... take that, and then I went home.
So you're the guy that did that?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, sir, I am.
What a baby. God.
A baby? You know, that girl meant everything.
Okay, now we're getting weird.
See, what did I tell you?
We're not getting weird.
This guy goes into some strip bar, and he thinks the dancer's in love with him, like most of those freaks do. And because I had more 20s in my wallet and she was doing the dances for me, I got narcoleptic, I passed out, he pulled my pants down, and then he left.
Both of you guys sound like you got a screw loose. Not one, both.
Why both? What did I do?
I don't know, man, but it's just the two of you hanging out. You know, to my way of thinking, the only reason why one would go into any of those dance joints around LAX is because you got a plane to catch. Either you're going to catch a plane or you just got off of one.
Can you imagine the pathetic animal who gets off a plane and the first thing he wants to do is hit a strip bar? To me, boy, that's sad. Real sad.
Well, have you ever done that?
Well, yes, I have, every time I get back to L.A., but that's, again, like I said, it's real sad.
Well, at least you admitted to it.
I'm not saying I'm sad, I'm saying it's sad.
Well, it's behavior that you engage in.
Yes, sir.
Then that makes you sad.
No, sir, it does not. I'm a very happy man.
All right, well, so how's your narcolepsy, Dr. Sadler?
Now, wouldn't you like to know?
What? What does that mean?
He said, how's your narcolepsy? I said, wouldn't you like to know?
Well, it's not funny. It doesn't make... It's fine, Phil. It's, you know, it comes and goes. I'm on medication. There are certain medications epilepsy.
Trying to say epilepsy?
Epilepsy, yes. Although they do drug you down a little bit. I, like yourself, I've changed my diet. So, and what about you, Lloyd? Are you still creeping around these strip joints and bothering the women?
Bothering the women? You make it sound like I'm some sort of a perv. You make it sound like I'm a perv on the prowl. And that all I want to do is get a face full by the time the full moon reaches its highest arc in the sky.
All right, thanks very much, guys, for a very, very interesting conversation, but I gotta go, okay?
Oh, see, now he thinks I'm a weird ass.
No, I don't. Thank you very much, Phil. It's wonderful to be a program.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Sadler.
So before the full moon reaches its highest arc in the sky.
Yeah, he's. I think he's part werewolf. That's what I think he was trying to say. I think he's saying that I think werewolf is another word for perv. All right, we'll be right back. It is the world famous Phil Hendry Show here, philhendryshow.com, and it's too goofy for words. Don't forget, next week we're going to be making a couple of announcements, big announcements, having to do with brand new affiliates to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Very excited about that. A couple of new affiliates, so join us for that. And also, as I said, you know, be a backstage pass member. So if you're in a market where we are not yet, you can enjoy us on our video cast. You can enjoy our podcast. You are up close and personal like nobody has ever been before. World famous Phil Hendry Show, right back after this. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Phil Hendry here, along with Margaret Gray and Bud Dicklin and Robert Leonard and a whole bunch of other people. And we thank Lloyd and Dr. Sadler for joining us and telling us all about how they go to the strip clubs out near LAX, and one of them has narcolepsy, collapses to the floor, while the other one pulls his pants down because he got more lap dances with his favorite dancer than Lloyd did. And I've got nothing against guys that go to those clubs, but you have to understand, you there's something wrong with you, man, if you're imagining any one of those chicks is in love with you. I don't mean that they can't love. I'm not saying that. What are you looking at?
Well, I think that's a pretty shocking statement. I would think anyone can love, Phil. Love. You know, there's a song, and you're going to laugh, but it goes... Love, exciting and new. Doo-doo. Now, you know the song, The Love Boat, okay?
Yeah, it's a stupid song.
Excuse, would you tell it to shut up?
Bud, hold on.
Thank you. The song is based, yes, it's a song from The Love Boat. Okay, fine, great, we'll get that out of the way. But it's a beautiful song lyrically, and it expresses, I think, the timelessness of the emotion of love. So... if you want to find it in a strip club, if you find it in a sewer, if you find it in an open running sewer, think about that, where there is disease, where there is all kinds of oh God. But if that's where you find love, who am I to judge you? Now the song goes, here, let me just write the...
What are you talking about?
Do you mind? This song, love, exciting and new, come aboard. We're something, something, I don't know. The love boat. Soon you'll be up to your... in fish. The love boat, you know.
Soon you'll be up to... let me see the lyrics here.
Don't grab it away from me.
I'm grabbing it away from you. I got to get going here. The love boat. Soon you'll be up to your ass in fish. Is that what this says?
Well, if you read English, yes.
What does that mean, up to your ass in fish? You talking about the love... that the love boat would sink?
No, the love boat isn't going to sink. Only in your mind does the love boat sink, Bud. Any boat you're on that's called the love boat, it sinks.
Yeah, any boat I'm on called a love boat, that boat stay afloat.
Yeah, okay, great. I'm glad we got that out of the way. What an intelligent exchange that was.
Well, he started it.
Yeah, but I don't understand. Give me that. What do you mean you wrote the lyrics down?
I wanted to be clear. The love boat, do-do-do-do. Love is something that's exciting and new. Love, come aboard. Even if you're, well, I don't know what it is. It doesn't say even if you're a Jew, because Aaron's...
Jimmy, will you get out of here with that, please, Margaret? That's offensive.
Ordinarily, Phil, if anyone grabbed anything out of my hands the way you just did, I'd take both their eyes out with a grapefruit spoon. I'm Margaret Gray.
God.
That's right.
And she gets up and walks out after she lays that on me.
Yeah, that's the scary part. Man, she doesn't scare me. Don't scare me at all.
What's that?
Nothing.
All right, so thank you very much for everybody that was a part of our marvelousness over this last few hours. It's just goofy, man. It's really goofy. Now, we're very thrilled to be working on an animation project with some partners over at Starburns in Burbank. This is not to say that it'll ever get on the air. It's not to say that anything will happen with it, but we are developing... and have developed, to be perfectly honest with you, an animation an animation story, and that we do hope will go, as they say in the business, to series. Now, one of the things that you need is you got to have. I never knew this, and when I finally kind of recognized it, I realized, well, I mean, that's the way the business is. Believe it or not, folks, you know, it's sometimes things happen and they don't make sense to any of us, but that's just the way that the cookie crumbles. I'm not saying this doesn't make sense, but a lot of shows don't get made in either Los Angeles or wherever they make shows unless there is an individual who is a part of the show that others recognize, other people in, say, the network that they're trying to get the show made on. So if they take a look at a show and they say, oh, look at this, this is so-and-so is producing it, they're more likely to maybe give you money to make that show. Well, we learned that lesson, and this is, for me, my third pilot, or not third pilot, but it's the third show that I've produced for television. The two previous ones did not make it. One of them I co-produced with Steve Levitan, which is the animated thing.
Well, you're just dropping names now.
No, I'm not. I just don't want to take credit for something entirely that is not entirely mine. That's all. Dropping names.
Well, you kind of are.
No, I'm not. In any event, that's not the point. The point that I'm trying to make here is we finally reached out and got some folks aligned with us for this animation pilot, one of whom is a very, very significant name. So I'm really excited. You know, I think maybe I shouldn't say.
Well, you don't want to, you know, Phil, you said you don't like to use the Q word, but in Hollywood, it's acceptable to say the following. You don't want to queer the deal.
I got to call Mr. Hall on that.
Oh, will you get out of here, man? You don't have to call Mr. Hall on every damn thing, okay?
Well,
queering the deal is not, it has nothing to do with being gay. Oh, God, that's great, bud.
I'd already dialed a number.
Yeah, David.
Bud just called it a panic. He was screaming. He was hopping up and down. He was yelling at the top of his lungs.
No, he wasn't. He was standing right here.
You're right. But anyway, he said that you said that he said you said that he. Did you call him a queer?
No, I did not. I was using a very oft-used phrase in business, queering the deal.
Oh, no, you can't do that. No. You know, you got to say, if you want to say fairy the deal. Or say sissy the deal, but don't say queering the deal.
What do you mean sissy the deal?
What's the point?
The point is that's an old saying, man. That's what fairy the deal.
You're saying queering the deal.
That's an old expression meaning you have twisted the deal to the point where it's no longer possible to make the deal. That things have happened, promises have been made, or it's gone in a direction that you can no longer retrieve the deal if you're trying to make a deal with somebody. Queering the deal.
All right, so what's wrong with saying, you know, I poofed the deal?
What is it? You still don't get it.
David, it's got nothing to do with gay. Poof the deal. You say that in the wrong neighborhood. And my friend, they'll be calling you Mary all night long.
Is that right?
We didn't wait.
Look, let's not go there, okay?
Did you hear what she just said to me?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. My girlfriend, yes, she outweighs me.
All right.
Thank you.
I didn't do it for you. I did it for me. Whoa, gee, Phil, why don't you just say sissy the deal?
But is he nuts or something?
No more crazier than you. In any event, I don't want to, as I say, the deal, but we're thrilled, and we are going to, if you're a Backstage Pass member especially, we're going to have you guys be the first to know everything that has to do with this show and anything else that we're doing. Here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So tonight we did this entire discussion of sleep paralysis, and I just got a message on Facebook from Layla.
Let me guess when she was born.
Yeah, well, that's her name, Layla. She's a very, very lovely girl, and she said to me, I have never heard of this. She said, I've never heard, Phil, of this sleep paralysis, but I'd sure like to see it happen. So here are some Reese's miniatures, and she sent me a picture of them. And I got to tell you something. I love those things so damn much, man. Even the picture.
You wanted to lick the picture?
Almost, yeah.
Not the girl, the picture.
Just never. No, not the girl. Although she's, you know.
Probably looked good enough to lick, right?
I'm not going to make a comment. We'll see you guys tomorrow night. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil, I think you queered the deal on this.